Hey everybody, it's just Kevin popping on here before the episode starts to let you know that even though you can certainly listen to this episode and enjoy it without watching the documentary that we are watching for this week's patron-only bonus episode, I highly recommend that if you have the time and if you're so inclined, you sit down and watch this documentary along with us as we go through it, because the absolutely insane visuals of this are so much of the fun that I had in watching this documentary. So I don't think I said it at the beginning of this episode, but I did want to make sure that people knew, at least as far as my opinion goes, this one is a whole lot more fun if you actually watch it along with us. So if you have the time, look it up. It's sitting there in the show notes. I will have a link to it. But that said, thank you all once again for listening, for being our patrons, and enjoy this month's patron-only bonus episode.
You should write a book, Fry. People need to know about the can eat more.
I'm getting this book on UFOs. Did you know they're real? But there's a huge comic conspiracy to cover it up.
Oh, that's just a paranoid fantasy.
I want to be a book. You can pick me up, flip through my pages, make sure nobody drew wieners in me.
Hello, patrons, and welcome to Patron Only Bonus. I got it right this time. I'm very proud of myself.
Good job.
Patron Only Bonus episode for the month of February 2024, year of our Tom Holland. Benedict, how have you been for the last 2 days?
Good,
Three days. Since we recorded.
Well, 4 days. Fine. It's cold. That's fine. I'm not super happy about it.
We got a snowstorm here in St. Louis.
Yeah, you said. Is it bad?
I mean, I saw people driving through it this morning, looking out my window.
But hold on, that doesn't mean it's not bad.
I know. Because in my mind, I would not drive through that. Not in a million years. It's the level to where, like, on top of cars, there's at least 6 inches of snow. That's the point where I go, nope, not driving on that.
Yeah, too much. Nope.
Yep.
But well, what we get here is, like, and I'm sure you get it there, too, is, like, there's just, like, a disconcerting amount of signs that are like, watch out for falling ice, and I'm like, you know what, I don't need to be outside.
Well, we get, like, because we have a different kind of snow, I think, because it's only barely 32 degrees, so we're not having ice and everything. Mm-hmm. But it's like a slush. The road is all slush. And I just saw them driving a little bit ago and putting some salt down, so hopefully that fixes it. But anyways, I've been stuck inside all day. We decided...
So you've gone completely stir crazy.
Absolutely.
You're going to make me do a dumb cultural Marxism fucking thing.
So, you know, after we finished our episode on cultural Marxism the other day, I sat down and watched the rest of one of the videos that I used for that episode, the cultural Marxism documentary that Pat Buchan was in, which I'd only watched like 20 minutes of prior to that, just skipping around to various points. And as I think I texted you like immediately after we got done, when I started just watching it all the way through, it is one of the craziest, best things I have ever seen.
Yeah, I think your exact words were, this is bad shit. So I'm looking forward to it.
And in addition to being absolutely batshit, right up my alley, you know, our episode didn't really deal with the particulars of the cultural Marxism conspiracy theory, right? It was more about the history and development of the term to point out the obvious Nazi connections and the modern day development by those anti-Semitic freaks we talked about.
Oh,
right?
I saw Zone of Interest the other day.
Yeah.
And there was a line in that made me think of you. where they went, basically the premise of the movie is it like follows Rudolf Hirsch's family, who was the like commandant of Auschwitz.
Yeah.
And it's like they're like, it's just like, it's about the banality of evil. It's very good. You should watch it. But there's a bit where her mum comes to visit and they're
just wondering
talking.
How banality of evil connects to me. I'm wondering how that connects.
No, not that specifically, but well, I know that you are evil and banal.
Yes.
But there's a bit where the mum comes to visit the wife of the commandant and they're like, literally you can see Auschwitz in the background, and they start talking about their neighbor and they're like, oh, I bet Sophie's in there. And like, oh, I wonder what she did. And then they were like, Bolshevik stuff, Jewish stuff.
Wait, is that a Sophie's Choice reference?
No, it's not a Sophie's Choice reference. But I feel like your brain going that direction made you miss the point that I was trying to make.
It did.
Which was, thank you to your ADHD for that. Which was, they were just like, yeah, probably some Bolshevik stuff. So, and but literally they were like Bolshevik stuff, Jewish stuff, you know, like, and yeah, that's the yeah line in the movie, which I thought tied in nicely with our episode.
Yes. So before we kick it off today, two things. First off, I did want to congratulate Skell for accomplishments that Benedict understands more than me.
Getting into universities. There we go. Congratulations. Very important.
Yeah, awesome. And the other thing
also,
is...
also, in England, so not paying an arm and a leg to do so.
Yeah, much better than here. The other part of this is, I think at some point we're probably going to release this patron only to the regular feed for everyone, because, as I said, we didn't really cover the particularities of the cultural Marxism conspiracy theory. And I think this episode, A, is going to be really fun, and I want people to hear it. And B, it's going to get a little bit into what do they actually fucking mean when they say cultural Marxism. So, before we, you know, get to watching the movie to begin with, I did do some more digging into James Yeager, the producer, director, funder, key grip, light boy, best boy,
owner of Jägermeister, funnily enough.
Possibly narrator and about a million other roles on this film, because of course this is really like a family and friends weirdo conspiracy outlet production. And to do that, I started with watching all of the other movies that he has made that were available on YouTube, to the extent that they started to bore me, and then I'd close that tab and go to the next one, right? So, on his YouTube page, which does appear demonetized to me for some obvious reasons, so don't worry about, like, accidentally giving him money if you go to watch. Like, he has the other films that I can find connected with this company posted on that YouTube page. So, let me just give you an overview of the other movies he's made and the types of people who are in them, which I think
we talked about. Did we talk about these on the show?
We did
time?
A little bit, but I got some more detail now, having watched them. So, first, I also have to note that he is still making documentaries today. His YouTube channel posted a trailer like a month ago for a movie called Silver Sunrise, Breaking Free from the Stress, Fear, and Control of Money, which is just all the same usual suspects. Ron Paul, G. Edward Griffin, Dr. Shiva Ayyadurai, the guy who falsely claims to have invented email, is in it. It looks bad. And not just because in 2024, I swear to God, it still looks like all of his movies are shot on a 90s camcorder. Just the film quality is terrible. But I also have a suspicion that at some point he got like 9 hours of interview footage on a single day for all these people, and he's been using that same footage for all of his documentaries ever since then. Like, I really have a suspicion, because they're always sitting with the same exact background.
The artiste's way, that's called.
Exactly. And he doesn't just make...
Also, how much of it is just because these motherfuckers would never talk to him again, being like, oh, fuck. You know, we can't do that again. That's going to be bad for our reputation.
I think Ron Paul would probably talk to him again. I think I think a lot of these guys, they don't have any problem talking to James. G. Edward Griffin wrote the conspiracy document, or the conspiracy book about the Fed. Like, he's the big name in Federal Reserve conspiracy theories. So I don't think he probably has any problem with talking to him a lot. So, but Benedict, he doesn't just make documentaries. In the early 80s,
Is he also a Cannes Lion winning ad director, or no?
No, not exactly. But in the early 80s, he made a bunch of cheap B movies, including one called Overexposed, which is on his YouTube page. The whole movie is released in 1984. IMDb describes it as, quote, in need of some extra cash, a beautiful rock singer poses for sexy photos.
I thought that was a review of the movie, in need of some extra cash.
No. that's very good. That's very good. But no, he said, in need of some extra cash, blah, blah, posed for some sexy photos for a men's magazine without telling her boyfriend. It gets complicated when she falls in love with the photographer who's taking the pictures.
That would complicate things.
It would. That's not what's interesting about that movie. What's interesting is one of the actors in that movie is a man by the name of Michael...
Ronald Reagan.
No.
Sorry.
Michael Diamond. Do you know who that is?
No.
Benedict, that is the real name of Mike D from the Beastie Boys.
Oh, that's
Mike
fun.
Mike D is in one of this guy's movies.
I went so deep on this shit because I was just obsessed. Like, what? You're shitting me. Mike fucking D. I just saw someone in the comments said Mike D is in this movie. I thought it was a joke or something. And then I started digging. No shit. Mike D is actually in this movie.
Has Mike D done any other acting?
I mean, all of their music videos. But other than, I mean, so it's 84. I think their first album came out in 84. So, you know, it would have been made like in 83 maybe, and he's trying to get some cash together. Maybe cash made from him being in this movie went towards making the Beastie Boys' first album. We have James Yeager to thank for the Beastie Boys' first album. That's the conspiracy theory I'm coming up with here.
Okay, sounds good.
I love it. A lot of his movies are based on G. Edward Griffin. An anti-Federal Reserve conspiracy. You know, we talked about him, The Creature from Jekyll Island. That's his book. It appears to be the favorite topic of all of Yeager's, right? It comes up in almost all the films, even with what would seem to be like drastically different topics. There's even like a solid probably 20 to 25 minutes about it in the cultural Marxism movie we're doing today.
I would just say License to Ill, which is their first studio album, came out in 1986. So this funded... For sure, some of the Beastie Boys lifestyle. So this is pre-Beastie Boys success.
Well, I would say it was a small role. Like, I don't think he got paid a ton for doing this. I don't suspect that he got paid a ton for it.
No,
I would
but guess... maybe it inspired him to take some shots for a women's magazine to make ends meet.
Maybe. We'll find out. But so, among his catalog are the movies Corporate Fascism, The Destruction of America's Middle Class, which is a lot of that Fed stuff, right? Original Intent, how the Democratic and Republican parties are destroying the American dream. It's just boilerplate, pseudo-legal interpretation of the Constitution and all that Original Intent stuff as they define it, which is the part that matters, right? Next, Midnight Ride, when rogue politicians call for martial law, which I would put in the same lines as the Alex Jones movie we've watched, right? Good Guys with Guns, How an Armed Citizenry Deters Tyranny and Atrocities, which heavily features now imprisoned felon Stuart Rhodes.
Cool. Yep, that sounds about right.
Unsustainable, the UN's Agenda for World Domination. Gotta have some UN conspiracy.
Mm-hmm. There, always. Right? Yeah.
Molon Labe, which we got a message from, was it Mockingbird Nation?
Yeah, Mockingbird Nation, yeah, come and take them.
Right. I knew that. I was surprised you didn't know that. That's the whole thing. You see it on the back of douchebags' pickup trucks.
Yeah, I didn't know it. They did. You're right. They did go and take them. That is...
You learn a little bit every day. You learn a little bit every day. Next up, we have Spoiler, How a Third Political Party Could Win. Not working out for them so far. Also, I do have to say that Molon Labe movie, I think, might have been paid for in part by the Oath Keepers because their logo is in the opening production credits.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool, isn't it? And then we have Mainstream, How Hollywood Movies and the New York Media Are Promoting the Globalist Agenda. And Benedict, I'm going to play you just about the first 30 seconds or so of the Mainstream documentary because I think it makes it fairly clear what these guys are really about and let's just say what they really think. I think the Mainstream, I think it makes it very clear. We'll play it for you right here.
Let's do it.
They are the lords of Hollywood for the most part.
Oh, cool.
And they yield a lot of power.
Who do you think they are, Benedict?
It's not good.
Who do you think they are?
I can promise you it's not good.
And God forbid you should buck that power. You will immediately be labeled as being anti-Semitic.
He just They're not even hiding it.
Not even hiding it. You see why I had to play that for you, right? It's not hidden.
Honestly, I don't think that was worth the 5 minutes it took you to try and figure that out.
Well, all that 5 minutes is going to be cut out for the episode.
I know, but I had to sit here and watch you sweating.
I'm sorry that for some reason he fucked up his own YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Benedict, the one we are watching today... Cultural Marxism, The Corruption of America, which is what we're here for. Ron Paul, as I said, is in almost every one of these documentaries. It's possible he wasn't in one or two and I just misremembered it, but he's so prevalent, it at least seemed he was in every single one. And the same with Pat Buchanan. A guy named Edwin Vieira, who is some lawyer who appears to have lost his mind at some point, and G. Edward Griffin. It's just the same cast of supposed experts every time.
It's like The Expendables, but for weird documentaries.
That is as good of an analogy as you could get to about it. But that brings us to, as I said, today's selection, Cultural Marxism, The Corruption of America, which we are not going to watch every minute of like we did with Alex Jones. I promised Benedict we wouldn't. But we're going to start here with a good portion of the intro that we are going to watch because it does set us up, and I really want Benedict to see how weird and what a bad choice this whole intro was.
Yeah, good day, never reckon I could see that. Lawyer, what's he looking at?
This is so fucking weird. This is like a, what is the red thing that's dancing around the screen?
I couldn't figure out what stylistic choice that was, what's going on. It's not like a motif that comes back to any real extent or anything. But what I did do was I recorded like the first minute and a half of this, because it's that, what it turns out it is the reverse. It's just being played in reverse. It's an audio clip being played in reverse, and it's just Ron Paul doing a boring rant about government. Unfortunately, I thought it would be more interesting than that, but that's all it is.
Isn't Ron, surely that's like the anti Ron Paul then. Like this if is you're how you playing do it in reverse. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Maybe that might be the case. Who knows?
There's no ships or props. No,
Cornerstone Matrix Entertainment. Do you reckon they have one with three X's that it's a porn production company?
I really wish. I wonder why he did that. Because, A, the Matrix movie hadn't come out back then yet, right? In the 80s when he started the company. This is his company he started back then. But it would have been better if he had the extra X. I agree.
Heroin gets
And so we get a picture there of the Earl Warren Court, the greatest Supreme Court we've ever had in the United States that expanded rights greatly, but which these people all hate. Because it ended segregation and stuff.
Yeah, I can see why they wouldn't like that, yeah.
That's generally, I think, why these people don't like it. So, we are going to skip over the very beginning, which is what we watched and listened to on the show last time, which is the Paul Buchanan part. Or actually, I think we might not be there yet. I'm going to jump ahead. So I'm going to jump ahead to about 2 minutes or so, 2.5 minutes. I actually don't need to tell you what timestamp I'm jumping to anymore. Because we found a way for me to play it and you to watch it at the same time. But we're going to do that. And then when we get to the Pat Buchanan part, we're going to skip that.
Okay, there's a submarine on the screen going under. That's fun. Is this like the... Hold on, pause it. Is this like the subversive nature of cultural Marxism? Is that it's this powerful thing beneath the surface that you can't see? Look at my fucking video analysis. Again, I'm so much better than they are.
Bennett, I really think the extent of it is this was free stock footage that was available to them. I really think that's all it is.
On what criterion could citizens agree that it was necessary to go to war? Surely, a nation full of citizens with no common values would be confused. They may be totally free, but their confusion will make them short-lived, if not barbaric. And many civilizations prior
that sentence
to the
simply
United
doesn't
States
make sense.
Were barbaric. That's why the American experiment is so important.
Pause
That's
it.
Why the...
Many civilizations prior to the United States were barbaric. What the fuck?
I don't know what he means by that, but I assume, based off of prior evidence, is something racist. That's just my
assumption.
Seems
it, yep. I also like corporate fascism at www.corporatefascism.org.
Scrolling along the bottom of the screen.
Like a ticker. There's a Chiron going really fast with all the fucking movies.
Telling people to check out their other movies. Yeah, it's great.
To happen must be preserved. Thus, applying and defending the values implied in the Constitution are, in essence, a matter of survival.
Pause it.
For if these facts...
Mm-hmm.
Are they implied or are they explicitly stated?
I don't know.
I think they're explicitly stated.
I mean, well, we're just talking vaguely about values, right? And I don't, yeah, I don't think that's
life,
worthwhile.
Life, liberty, and the... I mean, that's not the Constitution. That's the Declaration.
Right.
But still,
here's the thing is he doesn't exactly say what he means. But they do get into some of that a little bit in the movie, but he's just... it's an opening. I'll give him that
sorry.
It's just an
keep
opening.
Going.
He's
keep
being
going,
vague. He's speaking generally.
Actors are dropped out. You get a cruel, chaotic, and revengeful society. Such a society will eventually occupy its time with pleasure-seeking hedonism, material...
So there were strippers on screen for some reason.
Hedonism.
Position, mm-hmm. And violence-oriented pastimes.
Benedict, did you see what they used for violence-oriented pastimes?
I did.
Pastimes?
It was like the gladiator.
It was American Ninja Warriors. Yeah. It was one of the ones where they
hitting
fight
each other with the sticks. And then someone...
Welcome
there,
to...
There's like a...
Someone's like fighting in a toilet, and then it's... And this is a violence-oriented pastime, apparently.
It's like an MSNBC special. You can see at the bottom right of the screen, they've like cut off the MSNBC logo. And it's like one of those teens gone wrong or some shit like
teens
that.
Teens gone crazy.
Something like that.
Today's United States. No surprise. The baby boomers are in charge now.
What happened there?
I think someone with long hair is in charge, apparently, according to that. And that's disgusting, frankly. Political correctness. Oh, no. Also known as
cultural Marxism.
No, it's not. Those are not the same thing at all.
And so this is the point where Pat Buchanan comes in.
Yeah.
And we're going to skip over it. We played that on
the
regular
show.
From
last week. Yeah.
Yes. For those who don't remember, the Nazi fuckwit just sort of rambles about they're anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-traditionalist, blah, blah, blah. Cultural Marxism has taken over the culture. Great. So then we skip forward past where Pat Buchanan is done. And we're going to get the narrator cutting back in here, and he's going to take the story over.
What exactly is cultural Marxism, the dominant
great question.
Culture?
Benedict, hold up. Watch the video here. I need you to watch this.
I saw it.
Of today. How did the founders of communism
just women in bikinis, and Benedict, I shit you not, some of the footage there is from the late night commercials they used to have on for that fake dick pill Extends. They literally show them holding up the box. What is happening here?
You know what cultural Marxism's for? Tits. That's what it is. That's what, I mean.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the amount of almost nudity they have in this movie makes me think they don't really care about the whole
thing. Well, that's
why
it's cultural matrix with two X's. They almost get that.
Exactly.
Country, not with guns and weapons, but with values and ideas. Let's take a closer look at this. And see
that
exactly
Trotsky?
How it happened.
I don't know who that is. They
I think
use
that's
that photo.
Trotsky.
I don't
it's
think that's
super zoomed in. I'm pretty sure that's Trotsky. It might be Gramsci.
I was about to say, I think it's Gramsci because I think that's the same photo they use later when they talk about Gramsci.
Yeah, that is the photo of Gramsci that is available in the public domain. So
yeah, I figured it was
zoomed
like
in
that.
Far enough that I thought it might be Trotsky, but he didn't have the glasses. So I figured it was
something like that.
Marx got an idea. His idea was that the workers of the world...
This is like me when I do my joking, like, so there were these bad cats called the Nazis, man. But he's doing it unironically.
This guy, Marx, had this big idea. Also, hold on, separately, because of the ideas thing, why are all these conservative people doing videos of them, like, reacting to stand-up comedy now? I've seen Ben Shapiro and Dave Rubin both do it on shorts, where there's like the video playing in the bottom and they're like, oh, yeah, he's making a great point. Shut the fuck up. And then Dave Rubin can't even do it right because he just goes, heh, 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 heh. And that's it.
I told you a couple of weeks ago that I had seen like a YouTube video that someone on like BreadTube or something had posted about how all these right wingers are doing like this, hey, how are you doing, my fellow kids style, like reaction and review stuff.
It's weird. I mean, I think reaction videos do well with the algorithm, so that's probably why they're doing it, especially for YouTube Shorts, but it's fucking weird.
Also because YouTube is desperate to get anyone on to get to do Shorts.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, a lot of fucking people use Shorts, I will say. Unite and rise up to counter an
evil foe. That foe being capitalism. Capitalism. The idea that people and private companies should be able to own...
Is it the scroll again? The scroll again's gotcha?
Yeah, as they're like, capitalism is the evil. It's then like, donate to our films. So that we
keep reading what the scroll says at the bottom. I know. Here.
Okay. We acknowledge you with a producer, executive producer, associate producer, or production associate screen credit.
You get a screen credit if you donate to their
this
movie.
Is, look, he preempted Patreon, to be honest, because this is for all our producers and executive producers.
Come up to Marx. Marx felt the state should own the means of production, as well as products produced. And then the state should distribute a fair share.
He thought the workers should own the means of production, not the state. That is not correct. But carry on. Keep going, King. Let's go.
To each and every worker. Thus, in his book, The Communist Manifesto, Karl Marx thundered, workers of the world unite. Sure that that's he true. Had a principle to unify all workers in every country, Marx looked forward to eventually taking over the world.
Karl Marx believed that he would have...
No. Karl Marx was not going to be supreme dictator of the world.
No, that was Lenin.
Yeah, that's true.
Or, I'm sorry, that was Stalin.
Stalin, yeah.
A rebellion by the workers against the capitalist system.
Sorry, this man who's telling us about this is the founder of Movie Guide. Yes. So you know he's an expert.
I have notes about him a little later on, but basically it's a Christian movie rating service that warns you if there's a titty or one of the swears.
Did they warn anyone about this movie?
I had that question. Ted, they're showing bikini-clad women in this movie. How dare you be a part of this trash? How dare you, Ted?
A Marxist communist society where you would have dictatorship of the proletariat.
Unfortunately, when World War I broke out, the workers of the world unite. In fact,
yeah, because they got sent to mass graves.
Wait. Let him. You talked a little bit over it. Listen to this.
With their respective countries and fought each other.
They united with their respective countries and fought each other.
Yeah. Cool. World War One, the stupidest fucking waste of life that has ever existed.
Yeah.
Enormous disillusionment when the French and the Germans and the British workers all rose up for the fatherland and went to war happily, fighting one another.
Went to war happily. All of them went to war happily. It's
so
not
actually,
like
to be fair, that kind of is a little bit true in some senses, because people thought, like in the UK, they thought the war would be over by Christmas, and then they were in the trenches. No, seriously, they were like, "We'll be home for Christmas."
Yeah, the soccer game in the trenches. Yeah.
Not even that. They thought it would be. They thought they were going out in August, and the war would be over by Christmas. And then the trenches happened, and everyone was like, oh, fuck.
We made a mistake. Yeah.
Marx's idea was a total failure. Workers were more loyal to their respective countries,
and,
churches,
also, hold on, pause it.
Yeah, no, they do not at any point deal with the Russian Revolution.
Exactly,
they never
the one
it.
Big Marxist revolution that happened during World War One.
They don't mention it. I don't know why, but they don't.
But I know why.
Values. Than they were to their counterparts in other countries.
They did not want to give up their houses, their cars, their stoves, their products. They did not want to.
This is products. 1914.
Cool. Yeah.
They didn't have cars, and most of them didn't have houses. And what are you talking about, Ted?
Yeah, this guy's a dummy.
Anachronism's out the ass.
Have a classless society. They did not vote, and they didn't even have an overthrow.
Some years
they
after
Marx didn't
vote
for what?
I don't know.
Marxism?
I guess.
Several of his disciples got a new idea on how to take over the world. One of his disciples, Antonio Gramsci, while else but in prison.
Okay, did you hear that? I have to play it again because I mentioned this to you, but the tone he uses in saying this to me is just a smarmy fascist being happy about this. Listen up.
Some years after Marx failed, several of his disciples got a new idea on how to take over the world. One of his disciples, Antonio Gramsci, while where else but in prison...
You hear that little chuckle there? Where else but in prison?
In prison for having Marxist beliefs. Yeah, cool.
For imprisoned by the Italian fascists. Like,
yeah.
Important point to bring up there, bud.
Wrote up a series of plans, now known as the prison notebooks. In this plan, Gramsci announced, the workers of the world will unite only after the Long March is over. The Long March.
So, I have to be clear. The phrase, the Long March, which he's about to go on and talk about here, we'll talk about in a second, but it was not coined by Gramsci. We'll talk about where it came from in a second.
March.
In other words, they had to get into the culture and change the way of people's thinking. And if people were thinking about patriotism and nation and God and country, that was a mechanism which was too resistant to Marxism. It could never take hold. So you had to erode and destroy that in the individuals. That began what's called the Long March through the institutions, through the seminaries, through the churches, through the media, through Hollywood, and all the rest of it, to create an anti-Christian culture which would destroy the Christian beliefs and...
Benedict, what is going on? We just got the movie poster for the movie Eraserhead. We got a flyer that said Jesus Christ wanted and then two women kissing. What is happening?
Yeah, there's a lot going on. Also, I mean, what Gramsci did say was, you know, he had a theory of cultural hegemony. So he's not, I mean, you know, it is kind of... relevant,
so,
at least. It's not wrong.
It is. Well, let me explain. So the phrase they use is the Long March through the institutions. That is not a phrase that was coined by Gramsci. Gramsci had an idea called the War of Position. The phrase Long March through the institutions was coined by a student activist named Rudi Dutschke in West Germany, who was actually opposed to Leninist Marxism, having grown up in East Germany. And more importantly to what these chuckle fucks are arguing, he was a fervent Christian who found Christian justification for socialism in the Bible. Mm. His idea was that revolution is a long, complicated process in which people have to change over time, which is what his idea of Long March through the institutions was, right? It was motivated by, you know, a great deal of suppression of leftist thought at the time because of the Cold War and opposition to the Soviets and all that. He's a really interesting dude. Like, I read his Wikipedia page. That's about it. But really, he seems to have had a lot of interesting thoughts and positions. And also, if you notice in the background here, you can hear a knockoff or distorted version of Stevie Ray Vaughan's song Scuttle Button, which honestly distracted me for like 20 minutes because I stopped watching and went to listen to some Stevie for a while. I don't know why. The music choices in this documentary make no sense whatsoever. Nothing at all makes any sort of sense here.
Convictions in the vast majority of the people, so they would embrace the ideas of Marxism and they would embrace the ideas that they had rejected and they would be open to a takeover, basically, by Marxists. Now, not political Marxists.
That is insane.
But cultural.
Look, I can't make sense of what they're... I can't make sense of what they're saying. Like,
they're just saying we're basically tricking people into believing in Marxism by putting it in the culture.
Right.
Just quickly. Gramsci's thing is that the ruling class maintains... through various means, including violence and political stuff, but also through cultural hegemony that makes it really difficult for people to exist outside of a certain paradigm, yeah. Right? So one of his things was we have to change that cultural paradigm.
So
but that doesn't make the other stuff change. That's
right.
Just one of the ways of destabilizing capitalist control of society is by allowing people to exist outside of that cultural paradigm.
Right. And so on the regular show this week, you got confused when they started doing this cultural Marxist versus economic Marxist thing. And I think the problem is they don't actually like do what I think is what they're trying to say. They never actually give a clear explanation of what I think they're trying to say. And I could summarize it, I think, in just saying the cultural Marxists think that by changing the culture, basically what you said, people will be open to Marxist society, to implementing Marxism. But because this is an anti-Semitic conspiracy theory, that doesn't work out for them like that. And they can't just explain it that way. It has to be all this weird, because it has to go be a Frankfurt School, all this bullshit, which we'll be getting into in a minute here.
Marxist.
Rather than workers uniting and marching into battle, thus seizing power through force, they would make a long march through the institutions. Institutions like the arts, cinema, theater, literature, schools, college, seminaries, newspapers, magazines.
Pause there a second.
And what is not.
It's also funny to be, like, because, you know, university professors have been Marxists for a fucking while.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, this existed before this guy coined the term, is what I will say. And, like, also, like, Picasso, like, many other people, fucking Marxists at heart. Like, it's, yeah, dumb.
Now known as radio, TV, and the mass media.
Mm.
Once this podcast march is over.
Benedict, we are in fact cultural Marxists,
it
turns out.
We're foot soldiers in the long march through the institutions.
All the barriers to the acceptance of Marxism will have been quietly and systematically removed.
That's not how anything works.
Well, but I think that's where they get closest to the explanation I tried to give about what they mean by
cultural Marxism. Yeah, it's backdoor
Marxism. Right.
But, like, you can't suddenly be like, okay, everyone pays 100% taxes now just because people liked a movie. Like, you can't be like, well, everyone liked Oppenheimer and they were falsely accused of colluding with the Soviets. So now it's we're upping everyone's taxes by 10%. So,
Benedict, I never endorsed it as a good theory. I'm just saying I think I can explain what they think they're saying.
The culture, and what they were talking about was the Christian culture, what we used to call Christendom or Western civilization.
Mm, if you can break people away from religious affinities, for example, where they would turn to their
founder, Freedom Force International.
Yes, that's the name of the organization that G. Edward Griffin founded. By the way, I think I've said this before about him, but he looks so much like Clive Cussler, the author of those books I liked as a child, that it disturbs me every time I see his face.
Maybe it's his alter ego.
Oh, God, I hope not.
Support and help, or they would turn to scripture for answers to certain perplexing questions. If they have an affinity to their religion, they might say, well, we're not going to go along with government because it's contrary to my religion. So cultural Marxism would attack religion of all kinds. Doesn't make any difference because there was another place where people could go other than to the government for support and for answers.
We the people will have thus been indoctrinated or brainwashed into seeing the wisdom of Marxism and the folly of capitalism. Thus, the door to socialism and communism will...
Okay, Benedict, I love that we had the most literal stock footage ever there with a woman opening a door.
Yeah, but she's wearing red, so she's a trot.
Oh,
so.
Wow, I like that. See an extra depth in their probably stolen stock footage.
...will be open, and the door to a constitutional republic closed. Because the success of cultural Marxism means the demise of the U.S. Constitution.
Ooh, a burning American flag. Okay, yeah. No, it doesn't.
So, I'm going to skip over some stuff here.
Cool,
he has
good.
A guest we meet for the first time. It's Edwin Vieira, who I talked about, who's a crackpot kook, but he claims, and I cannot verify, to have multiple degrees, multiple bachelors, a PhD, and a JD from Harvard. He's also a huge Federal Reserve conspiracy theorist and militia weirdo. And he's just here to say some vague stuff about the Constitution being based on principles and those are being eroded and blah, blah, blah. So nothing we really need to hear that's very interesting at all. So we're going to skip it. We're going to skip ahead of that, where now they finally start talking about, yes, the Frankfurt School. And again, we get that red motif thing that I don't, there doesn't make any sense. It's just like a blob of red on the screen moving around.
It's Marxism spreading through society. It's going to get bigger and bigger.
Benedict is the best film critic on the show, I will say.
How did cultural Marxism get into the United
States?
It's
Marx's beard. It's what it is. It's Marx's beard spreading throughout the film.
Honestly, I have a theory that if Marx had shaved, he wouldn't be nearly as scary to a lot of these people as he is, given the one picture that anyone ever uses of him.
In 1923, members of the Marxist Communist Party set up an institute at Frankfurt University in Germany. This institute was named the Institute for Social Research. Later, it would become known as simply the Frankfurt School. These new Marxists, under the direction of Max Horkheimer, had seen the old Lenin Marxists fail. The workers of the world did not...
Did they fail?
I mean, they controlled basically half of the globe for a long time. So I don't know if that's necessarily failure.
I mean, they failed in the sense that Stalin took over the party and then Stalin, you know, but the Soviet Union existed.
Look, Benedict, I know you're hesitant to say it, but on this podcast, our official position is Stalin, not great.
No, I am not hesitant to say that at all. That has firmly been my position for some time. I would like to make it clear that I am not, in fact, a tanky.
In World War I. Further, they realized why. Antonio Gramsci, the disciple who wrote the
They're
prison
notebook,
They're
pronouncing Gramsci different every time.
I know, they keep mixing it up. He can't keep his... I don't know who this narrator is, but I think it might be Jaeger, the guy who made the movie. Because there's no narrator in the end credits, so I think it might be him, but who knows, honestly.
Marxism could only flourish after a
It also sounds very close to the How It's Made guy. The narrator from How It's Made, it does sound a lot like him.
Long march through the cultural institutions. Now the mantra would be, change Western culture, and then the workers will unite.
After Marx, there were a group of Marxists who...
He hesitated a little bit
there.
There
were a group of...
what do you call them? Shit.
I think he wanted to say disciples, and then he was like, no, that's a Jesus thing. And then...
I want to say, is it... What are the people who...
Carlists. No, that's different.
What are the people who change horseshoes? Is that... It's a farrier or a furrier? I never remember which one it is.
Wisely decided that you could bring this collectivist society to a nation through culture as well by introducing certain... values and concepts that would break down the family, for example. If you could somehow break down the family unit so that it was no longer self-sustaining and no longer valued in a society, then that would leave individual members who formerly could turn to the family for support in times of need. They would now be cut loose. They would
be without
a place to go.
You can't break down the family through culture. That's silly.
Well, I mean, we've heard that a lot from the right. Yeah. It's a constant claim. They want to destroy the family. And what they really mean is they want to let gay people exist.
Well, you know who actually wants to destroy the family? People who don't want to help people with childcare support. That's who wants to destroy the family. Because a lot more people would be having kids, I think, if it weren't so fucking expensive.
Sure. Not me. I don't like kids.
...valued in a society, then that would leave individual... members who formerly could turn to the family for support in times of need, they would now be cut loose. They would be without a place to go in times of need. So now they have to turn to the government.
So that is a much more cogent explanation of the conspiracy theory about destroying the family than I think we've heard before. The idea being that if you destroy family, people have to rely on the government. I think we've gotten that before from some folks, but this is the best... I don't want to say this, but G. Edward Griffin actually is the best speaker in this documentary.
In this documentary.
Yeah, yeah.
But just as the march through the institutions was about to begin, an anti-Marxist, anti-Semitic Adolf Hitler ascended to power.
Oh, he was anti-Marxist? I thought he was a socialist.
Well, Benedict, you know, Nash, it stands for Nationals. So, yes, it does stand for National Socialist. Wow, I did. When I watched this, I was like, holy shit, they're actually being honest about that. That's crazy. That's really crazy. And then I remember that these people like Hitler. So, you know.
began. Since the leading lights of the Frankfurt School were Marxist, the school packed up...
What else were they? What were many of them?
Bolsheviks.
Its ideology and fled to America, settling down in New York City with the support of Columbia University. But okay. What exactly is the march? And who was marching? What values has the long march through the institutions rolled over?
Okay, Benedict, this next part here. This is the moment that I texted you. This is batshit.
Okay.
This is what did it. This had me stand up out of my chair, walk around in circles in my house while yelling, "What the fuck?"
Okay.
What the fuck?
I think given how far we are through the episode, this might be where we end the episode.
This might be. We might be getting near the end, but this Benedict boy, is this something?
Okay.
Let's hear it from some of the Frankfurt School graduates themselves, like George Lucas, Antonio Gramsci, Charles Reich, Herbert Marcuse, Theodore Adorno, Erich Fromm, Wilhelm Reich, and Max Horkheimer.
Marx got it all wrong. The workers are not up to being the vanguard of the communist revolution.
What the fuck, Benedict? What the fuck is happening?
This is someone...
I think it's just the narrator trying to do a voice.
Is that supposed to be Theodore Adorno? Just that Marx got it all wrong. Okay,
Marx got it all wrong. They're not up to the revolution.
What the fuck?
It doesn't help that it sounds like Master Splinter. Like...
Oh, and for the record, I tried Googling the quotes they put in the mouths of these figures, and a lot of these I couldn't pull up anything for. I'll tell you about some of them as we go through.
I like, let's hear from the lads themselves, and then it's just some guy doing a bad accent.
Let's translate Marxism into cultural terms.
And Herbert Marcuse.
The West is guilty of genocidal crimes.
Okay, Benedict, this one is the worst one. This is the worst one we get. This is fucking outstanding.
Every civilization and culture it has encountered. America and Western civilization are the world's greatest repositories of racism, sexism, nativism, xenophobia, anti-Semitism.
Is he shitting while he's recording this voiceover?
I think so. I think he's making his asshole make these sounds.
You can only do that when you are fully clenched. That is the only way to do that.
That man's sphincter is fighting for its life.
Oh my god. I couldn't believe they did this. Because you could just read those quotes.
Yeah.
You could just read them in your normal voice. There was no reason for this voiceover. No reason whatsoever. But somebody decided that they had to.
Deeply funny, and I'm glad they did.
Oh, God. Oh, God. So, I tried Googling, in particular, the Marcuse quote that they were reading there, right? And I didn't get any results other than there was a Catholic culture blog article.
Doesn't
published
seem
in
like
2003.
A hugely reliable source, I will say.
No. It was published in 2003, titled A Nation of Frogs, that had a paragraph reading, quote, "The notion of group solidarity, or what is called identity politics, was designed to create nothing but division, leading to violence and social anarchy. In order to undermine Western society, the cultural Marxists would constantly repeat the charges that the West was guilty of genocidal crimes against each and every civilization that it had ever encountered throughout its history, and the historical oppressions of mankind." That's the closest I could find. It's possible this is something that's out there, but also the inflection he is adding on this reason, on this reading, is particularly fucking crazy.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was the first quote. The Marcuse quote, I found something different. We'll talk about it after we've let it finish playing.
Fascism and Nazism.
Nazism?
Fascism and Nazism.
Is that he's just predicting the rise of Nas?
Nas. Well, you know, we had Nas, and now we have Lil Nas X. So yes, you could say Nasism is on the rise in America.
Exclusively in America, yeah.
American society is oppressive, evil, and undeserving of loyalty.
Okay.
So, yeah, I looked for that one from Mark Hughes, too. And, like, I even, like, pulled up Repressive Tolerance, which is probably Mark Hughes's most well-known article he wrote. And I control-F'd it. I didn't find anything in there. So I'm pretty sure, unless someone else can tell me otherwise, that these quotes are, there are a couple of them that I do know are true because I found them other places. But like some of these, I can't find anywhere. There are other quotes like this throughout the documentary, and I don't know which ones they're making up and which ones are real. So it's really fucking weird.
I like how ambitious you were with how far you thought we'd get in an hour in this, and we are literally 15 minutes into a 95-minute documentary.
Well, we're only at 50 minutes right now. So I think we can go just a little bit longer so that hopefully we can get this done in not too many months of watching this documentary. But
I think we can dip in and out of this. I don't think we have to keep doing
it. I think you're probably right. We could probably dip in and out of it. But we're going to skip forward right now really quickly, right? And we're going to get to some more of these quotes about culture or from cultural Marxists, rather, I should say. We're skipping over basically just like they do a man on the street interview. I have no idea why, because none of the people who they talk to have any idea what the fuck cultural Marxism is.
No.
They've never heard of it.
This is way too early for cultural Marxism.
Absolutely.
George Lucas.
I
keep thinking they say George Lucas.
I know, that's something. When I was trying to type it in to search for these quotes, I kept accidentally putting George Lucas. I kept doing that.
Science is the one and only solution. A worldwide overturning of values cannot take place without the annihilation of the old values, the creation of the new ones by the revolutionary.
Lukács.
So that quote, I can tell you, is mostly real, although okay. they removed like words that didn't need to be removed, like that. They just removed like random words for reasons.
Maybe he
couldn't
say that in the accent.
Maybe that was it. And by the way, like we haven't, a lot of the footage we're seeing are just like photos of these individuals. That makes sense, I guess, in a documentary.
Mm-hmm.
But also, and we pointed out from time to time, psychopathically weird, random non sequiturs being shown in the background.
Lukács' gift to America later became known as cultural terrorism. Gifts such as radical sex education in public schools, covering such subjects as free love, outdatedness of monogamy, irrelevance of religion, and the archaic nature of the middle class family.
Yeah, Benedict, you know, as someone
that's what you cover in sex education, the archaic nature of the middle class family, for sure. Yeah, yeah, that's it.
As someone who went to high school in the United States, let me tell you, absolutely true. Yeah, we were told how polyamory was great, that mothers and fathers don't need those, right? No, that's some weird bullshit to throw in here.
Women were called upon to rebel against the sexual mores of the day, such being the core values of Christianity and Western culture. His ideas later became the basis for the sexual revolution, embraced by a generation of drugged...
And we're just getting footage of someone getting a tattoo. I don't know why, but
evil.
Somebody's getting a tattoo here.
Evil shit.
Challenged baby boomers.
So drug-challenged baby boomers, that was the part that I sort of trampled
absolutely
over
there. Missed the opportunity to say drug-addled.
Yeah, so we're going to skip forward really quickly, and this will be our last clip we look at for the day before we sign off. So we're skipping past Pat Buchanan whining that the youth have been captured by the cultural Marxists, right?
Which we have.
Yeah. more of the out of the insane, stereotypically Jewish accents reading incorrect quotes and whining about baby boomers liking drugs, all that kind of stuff. The narrator tells us that Gromsky was right, that the only way that they could win is if the, quote, heat shield of capitalism, Christianity, was first destroyed.
Cool.
We get some talk about Charles Reich and one of his books, The Greening of America, which they really hate. And then we pick up at about 19 minutes and 30 seconds in, where we get Ted Baer, who we made fun of before, but we didn't really listen to him talking in any real depth. So we're just going to get a little bit of him to finish up the day, and then we'll be done.
in the 1960s, the church pulled back from the culture.
This man's at a different angle.
Is he at a different angle? Are you sure? That looks exactly the same as I remember the first clip being.
No, go hover over the early clip. They're literally facing a different direction.
Oh, let me see if I can find it. If he just like literally turned from right to left, that would be...
It's way before that.
That would be very funny to me if that was the case. Well, shit, you are correct. Same faces in the background, but literally they just moved the camera from the right side of his face to the left side of his
face. Well, no, because the eagle is now on the other side, so I think maybe they've just flipped it for the fucking camera.
I think he has two of those vases.
Because, no, the rose is exactly the same, but facing the other way. It's the same. They've just flipped the shot.
Listeners, go watch for yourself and tell Benedict he's wrong about the vases.
I'm so right.
Sex and Satanism film. You had the first X-rated film.
Okay, the way he gulps after he says the first Sex and Satanism film, almost like he's going to throw up just mentioning it. Great.
Where the pastor takes the boy up to his room in Broadway to get on his knees but not to pray.
Get on his knees but not to pray. Oh, God, this man's writing Megan Thee Stallion's lyrics. Jesus.
Ted Bear is going to be featured on the next WAP song.
to 82% R-rated movies, which were restricted.
What is that? Is this just porn noises in the background?
Like, yes, they're... Okay, this is, again, the thing. Ted, this is not the only documentary of Mr. Yeager's that he appears in. So apparently Ted, a guy who literally runs a website that warns people... If a homosexual appears in a film, just someone who is coded as gay appears in a film that it is not family friendly, is in something that is far more sexual than most pornography I have watched. We have gotten so much imagery of almost naked women, sex noises all over the place. What is going on? How did he come back after this?
No.
I don't know.
Tremendous loss of viewership at the movie theaters, even though television had been around for 20 years. He went from 44 million weekly attendance to 17 million weekly attendance. And so basically what happened, the church gave up in the mid-60s. It came up on parents' schools.
So I don't know what movie that was, but it looks like a knockoff of Harry Potter is what it looked like. There are like people flying in the clouds and someone had a fucked up face. That just screams Harry Potter to me. I don't know.
Gave up on being a force in society. And Johnson shackled the church when he said that when he used the 501c3 to say the churches couldn't talk about politics, and the church just buckled under.
Churches can talk about politics.
They can't endorse candidates.
They can talk generally about ideas. When they actually engage in politics, which is what I would call endorsing specific measures, specific laws, specific politicians, yes, they lose their tax exemption. Do they still get to be a church? Yes, they just don't have tax exemption anymore. But you know what, Benedict? It goes beyond that, because literally almost no fucking churches have ever lost their tax exemption for engaging in
political activity, despite engaging in quite a lot of politics most of the time.
Yes.
As prayer was taken out of school, the church buckled under. When the church collapsed from Hollywood, they buckled under. So it was the church's internal
collapse.
When
the church collapsed from Hollywood?
Before in history.
These guys, I know for a fact because I've watched the mainstream documentary, think that Jews have been in charge of Hollywood from the very beginning. So when was the church ever in Hollywood? I don't know.
It's a good question.
I don't really have any idea.
As people get revival, reformation, renewal, we will never reclaim the culture.
So cultural Marxism would be that type of activity in any society that breaks down the culture in such a way so that people instinctively turn to government as an alternative for the support that they otherwise
have. Cut this it now. That's it. Art. We're done.
That's through music.
So yeah, that's about the same as the explanation he gave earlier, and I hate to say it again, But I think G. Edward Griffin is actually giving us the most understandable explanations of what they think cultural Marxism is.
He is
really
also
do.
Facing the opposite direction as he was.
Did
earlier.
He switch again? Sure. Oh, yeah. Fuck, I don't think so. I don't think so with him.
We'll I know, I think that they've done a mirror shot of a lot of these people.
So, boy, I fucking love this movie. Was I lying about how fucking weird this is?
No.
No, it's fucking crazy. And I do highly recommend for listeners, if
watching
you can,
along.
I do. This one, I very much recommend watching along as you listen, because we can't constantly be describing the insanity that's being shown.
But it
on
is
screen.
Crazy. I will
it's
say.
It's pretty fucking nuts. So I'm excited to get to more of this. We're only about 20 minutes into it, and it's an hour and 40 minutes long. So, boy, there's plenty left to go. I'll try and get us quickly through the rest of it, but we'll see how that goes. We're only on page 4 of my notes. I only had 6 pages of notes, but we're on page 4. But thank you all, as always, for being our patrons. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Club Podcast is a production of Kevin and Benedict Productions. Copyright 2020, all rights reserved. Music for this podcast is by Silverman Sound Studios. Find out more at silvermansound.com.